This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. We'll hear first this week from Dragnet. We'll hear their story from November 30th, 1950, titled The Big Car. After that, it's Jeff Regan, Investigator, and The Man in the Church. That episode aired October 12th, 1949.
The story you're about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to robbery detail. In 4 months, 15 food markets in your city have been held up and robbed. The bandit is well-dressed, well-armed. Your job, stop him.
You'll be amazed when you compare Fatima with other long cigarettes.
You'll find they now cost the same. But in Fatima, the difference is quality.
You see, Fatima is the quality king-size cigarette because it contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos superbly blended. And Fatima is extra mild with a much different, much better flavor and aroma than any other long cigarette. Because of its quality, its extra mildness, its better flavor and aroma, Fatima has more than doubled its smokers coast to coast.
So try comparing Fatima yourself. Fatimas now cost the same as other long cigarettes, but your first puff will tell you.
Ah, that's different.
Yes, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Ask your dealer for Fatima, the quality king-size cigarette. Best of all, long cigarettes. Start enjoying Fatima tomorrow.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, February 12th. It was cold in Los Angeles. We were working the night watch out of robbery detail. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Thad Brown, chief of detectives. My name's Friday. It was 9:48 p.m. when we got to room 25A, interrogation room. Have a chair, Mr. Pollard.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, what is it that you want to tell us, sir?
Well, you have a cigarette, please.
Yeah. Here you are.
Thanks. I'm a little nervous. It's never happened to me before.
What's that?
Well, after I thought it over, I knew it wouldn't be any use to keep it up. I knew you'd find me.
I don't think I quite follow you.
I want to confess, that's why I came here.
Yeah?
I knew what I was doing wrong. I just couldn't help myself.
What have you done?
I'm not trying to defend myself. I needed money, that's all. Wasn't anything else I could do.
Well, we still don't know what you're talking about, Pollard.
Been after me 4 months. Thought maybe you'd recognize me from the description. Some of the people must have seen me.
Hmm?
Those food market holdups.
You pulled those robberies by yourself?
Yeah, 15 of them. Needed the money.
Pollard, is that your true name?
That's right, Jeff. Frank Pollard.
You ever been arrested before?
Drunk charge, that's all. I don't know why I went wrong. I just did.
You ever done any big time?
No.
Why do you want to confess?
I want to get it off my mind. I want to tell somebody. Everybody. Look, call in the newspapers. I'll give them a whole story. I'll tell them everything.
How many of those markets did you hold up, Polly?
15.
You said you needed the money. Is that right? Why?
Personal reasons. Now, look, you got a light again. The smoke's out there.
Yeah. Here you are.
Yeah, thanks.
You used pretty much the same routine on all of the holdups, is that right?
Yeah, I only pull one job a week. Figured that was the safest way. Dressed pretty well, like a salesman. Always had a briefcase with me.
Is that where you carried the gun?
Yeah. Always worked, too. I'd show up at closing time, get the manager in the back room, then pull the heist.
What kind of a gun did you use?
Service pistol. I had it from when I was in the Army.
How do you usually work it?
Well, when I got the manager alone in the back office, I'd just pull the gun and I'd say, give me the money, all of it. They knew I wasn't fooling. They'd give me the dough.
You don't seem to fit the holdup man's description too closely. Did you wear a mask on those jobs, is that it?
Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't.
How about the man who worked with you? Where's he?
Wasn't anybody else, just me. Worked him alone. That's where you cops are wrong. You thought there were two of us, didn't you?
We thought so, yeah.
Pulled every job by myself. That's where I crossed you up. I knew what I was doing. I didn't need any help.
Well, how about that market out on West 7th that you held up last night? Did you pull that one alone, too?
Yeah, sure. I always work alone. Guess I had you guys going, huh?
Your story doesn't come very close. The man we're after doesn't use a service pistol. He never wears a mask, either.
What are you guys getting at? I told you I pull those robberies. I ought to know how it happened. I use a service pistol.
Did you use it in that robbery last night, the one out on West 7th?
Sure, I always use the same gun. Last night was no different.
You're wasting time, mister.
What do you mean? I just want to confess.
No, sir, there wasn't any robbery last night. On further questioning, the suspect, Frank Pollard, broke down and admitted his confession was a lie. He explained that he wanted the publicity to impress a girlfriend. We had him fingerprinted and delivered him to the Georgia Street Hospital detail. He was filed on and then removed to the psychopathic ward at the county hospital for further examination and treatment. Our four-month-old search for the market bandit went on. In the 2 weeks that followed, we tracked down more leads. They led nowhere. The real market bandit was still at large. On the night of February 25th, he hit again, this time at a supermarket out on Santa Monica Boulevard. We interviewed the manager, a Mr. Harry Talbot, in his small office at the rear of the store.
I guess I should have known better. I got the bulletin you sent out on the guy, his description, everything. I just wasn't thinking, I guess.
He came in the market just before closing time, is that right?
Yeah, a couple of minutes after 8. Looked well-dressed, had a briefcase under his arm. I fell for it like the rest of them. I thought he was a salesman.
Well, how about the man's description, sir?
About 5'11", 170 pounds, I guess. Gray suit. It's the same description you had printed up in the paper.
Mm-hmm. Was anyone else around when the man came in the door?
One of my clerks, Everett Smiley. He saw him leave and get in a car right after the robbery.
Is this clerk still around? We'd like to talk to him.
Oh, he went down the street a minute. He'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe that's him. Yeah?
Mr. Talbot, you remember me, Mrs. Bolton?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I'd like to ask you a favor, Mr. Talbot, as an old customer.
I'm tied up right now, ma'am. Could I see you a little later on?
I won't even come in, Mr. Talbot. You see, we're having our annual benefit whist party down at the community church. They were going to have it next Thursday, but I made them put it off another week so we could get some decent prizes.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Of course, a lot of our people are good customers of the store here, so I knew you'd be willing to give something to the prize list.
Oh, yeah.
Shall I put you down for one of the door prizes? Maybe two or three market baskets full of canned corn, peas, things like that.
Yeah, okay, Mrs. Bolton. I'll have Everett fix them up tomorrow.
Of course. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Talbot. I'll have my boy Robert pick them up tomorrow. You'll have the baskets fixed up real nice, won't you?
Yes, ma'am. I'll take care of it.
Well, thank you again. Goodbye.
Goodbye, ma'am.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye.
Mr. Talbot, I wonder if you could tell us what happened after you got back here in your office with the holdup man.
Well, it happened pretty fast. He reached into the briefcase he was carrying like he was going to get his order book, and he came up with this gun. He told me to open that safe there, but I stalled. I said I didn't know how.
I see.
And that's when he started telling me what he'd do to my family, my wife, if I didn't open the safe. He knew all about us, my address, my wife's name, my kids. He said he'd get them if I didn't do what I was told.
Same M.O. Never failed him.
What'd you do then, Talbot?
Well, money's not worth that much to me. I opened the safe and gave him everything. A little over $400. I still don't know how he got that information about my family.
Do you have any suspicions at all?
No, nobody I can think of.
How about the gun he had? Can you describe it?
Well, just like you have it listed in that bulletin on him. 38 revolver, blue steel, long barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Talbot.
Come on in, Ev. Officers, this is my clerk, Everett Smiley. I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Friday and Romero, robbery detail. Hi.
No.
Hello there. Hey, Mr. Talbot says that you saw the holdup man leaving the market, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. He walked right out of the store and down the street just like nothing happened. I didn't know anything was wrong till later.
Did you notice if the men got in the car?
Yeah, I did. The car was parked about halfway down the block. Another guy was driving. The motor was running.
Did you catch the license number?
No, but it was a brand new sedan. A Pontiac, I think. You shouldn't have much trouble finding it.
Without a license number?
Well, it's a brand new car. I remember the color. I couldn't forget that.
Yeah?
Bright red, just like a fire engine.
90% of the time, color identification of a car means nothing. For one thing, a getaway car can be painted in a matter of a few hours, and for another, the color of a vehicle is not listed on the registration slip. It's impossible to check a car through DMV on color alone. But in this case, we figured that we had half an exception to the rule. The car used in the robbery was new, was painted a very distinctive color. We began an immediate canvass of automobile dealers throughout the city. After a day and a half of calling and checking, we found two dealers who had sold two new cars within recent weeks with fire engine red paint jobs. We got the names and addresses of the purchasers and checked them out. One of them was a Miss Mona Taylor, an ad taker for one of the daily morning papers.
I'm sorry to bother you at your work, Miss Taylor.
Oh, not at all. Most of it's over for today. What is it you want to know?
Well, we understand that you bought a new Pontiac sedan about 3 weeks ago. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. If this is about that parking ticket, why, I've already taken care of it.
No, ma'am, that's not it. We'd just like to know if you still own that car.
Well, I don't own it yet. I'm still paying on it.
Color's a bright red, is that right?
Yes, it is. Fire engine red. I like bright colors.
Well, does anyone else besides yourself drive the car, Miss Taylor?
Well, yes, once in a while. I lend it to my boyfriend, Al. Al Daly. I've known him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me. Classified ads, Miss Taylor. Yes, sir. Two-room apartment? Unfurnished? All right.
You got a smoke,
Joe?
Steam,
heat.
Yeah, just a minute. I got
View,
one.
Beverly Hills.
That's it, Ken.
$80. What's that? Yes, sir. Tomorrow morning's edition. Yes, $2.12 for 2 days. Could I have your name, address, and telephone number? Thank you, sir.
About this friend of yours, Miss Taylor, this Al Daly. How long have you been lending him your car?
Since he got his new salesman's job. He has to make night calls on customers out in the valley, so I let him have the car, usually about once a week.
When's the last time that he borrowed the car, Miss?
2 nights ago.
From Mona Taylor, we got the address of her boyfriend, Al Daly. We located him in a rooming house on South Boulevard Avenue. He admitted he borrowed the Taylor girl's car the night before, but he denied that he drove it anywhere in the vicinity of the robbery.
How about your friend, Jimmy Bray?
I don't know. I loaned the car, that's all. He gave me $30.
Well, that's an awful lot of rental money. Why did he need a car so bad?
I don't know. Let you ask him.
Where does he stay?
Bartlett Hotel. Nathan Flower.
Mm-hmm.
You going over to see him now?
That's right. Why?
Well, I thought if you were going over there, you wouldn't mind taking this with you. He left it in the car when he brought it back. His briefcase.
Let's have a look.
What's the matter? It's all a fuss about a briefcase.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. What is it? Let's see.
All right. You got an answer for that, Daly?
Sure. A funny place to keep a gun.
We took Al Daly downtown where he was held for questioning. We had a stakeout placed on his rooming house. We had both Daly and Bray checked through R&I. No criminal record. The briefcase and the .38 revolver were booked as evidence with a property clerk. There was no record or prints on the gun. The Taylor girl's car was impounded to be checked for fingerprints. 7 p.m., we drove out to the Bartlett Hotel on 8th and Flower. The room clerk confirmed the fact that Jimmy Bray was a registered guest at the hotel.
You want to call the office, Joe?
Yeah, all right, I'll do it.
You got change?
Yeah, I think I have, yeah. Okay.
City Hall.
2511.
2511.
Robbery Powers.
Joe Friday, John. We're out at Bray's Hotel. We're going to stake it out. He's not in yet.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
What do you mean?
The market out on 12th Street was held up a minute ago.
Yeah?
Bandit carried a briefcase.
You are listening to Dragnet, authentic stories of your police force in action.
You'll be amazed when you compare Fatima with other long cigarettes.
Buy a pack. You'll find Fatimas now cost the same. Light a Fatima.
Ah, that's different.
What a difference.
Yes, friends, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Quality of tobaccos, the finest Turkish and domestic varieties, extra mild and superbly blended, to give you a much different, much better flavor and aroma than any other long cigarette.
Quality of manufacture. Smooth, plump cigarettes rolled in the finest paper money can buy.
Quality, even to the appearance of the bright, clean yellow package, carefully wrapped and sealed to bring you Fatima's rich, fresh, extra mild flavor.
Try comparing Fatima yourself. Fatima's now cost the same as other long cigarettes, but your first puff will tell you...
Ah, that's different.
Yes, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Ask your dealer for Fatima, the quality king-size cigarette. Best of all, long cigarettes. Start enjoying Fatima tomorrow.
p.m. After checking Bray's room and finding nothing, Ben and I remained on stakeout at the Bartlett Hotel. The suspect failed to show up. At midnight, Young and McKenzie came out and relieved us. We drove back to the office and got the particulars on the holdup of the 12th Street Market. The M.O. was almost exactly the same as in the other 16 robberies. The victim's description of the holdup man matched perfectly with Bray's. By noon the next day, the suspect still had not returned to his hotel. An intensive canvas of the immediate neighborhood around the Bartlett Hotel netted us nothing. Nobody remembered Bray. We checked the bars and restaurants that he was known to patronize. No one had any idea where he might be. Details at the airport, railroad stations, and bus terminals were alerted. We got out a supplementary description on our original APB. The sheriff's office was kept advised. 2 days passed. Still no sign. We questioned and re-questioned Al Daly. Either he couldn't or he wouldn't add anything to what he'd already told us about Bray. A series of stakeouts were placed at food markets in areas where Bray had staged robberies previously. A composite picture of the suspect was made up and given wide distribution throughout the city. It all went for nothing. The following Tuesday, March 4th, Bray robbed a neighborhood market in Highland Park of $150.
I had to give him the money, Sergeant. He threatened my wife and kids. Said he'd see something happen to them if I didn't open the safe.
Did you say he wore gloves, sir?
That's right. I thought it didn't jibe at first. A salesman wearing gloves like that. Didn't think about it till it was too late.
Did you notice if he was on foot or did he get away in a car?
He had a car, all right. Parked down the street there. Saw it through the window. Another fellow was at the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice anything else about the car? The license number, maybe?
No, I couldn't see that. But it was a coupe. I'm sure of that.
Yeah?
It was red. Bright red.
It was one angle we couldn't figure. If Bray was bent on a steady career of robbery, why did he use an escape car painted the most conspicuous color possible? We checked out Mona Taylor's car again. There was no connection. The search went on. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, another month. Bray kept to his usual schedule, one robbery a week. The legwork went on, too. On March 20th, we got a call from one of Ben's informants. He told us that he'd seen a man answering Bray's description in the Venice Park amusement area down by the beach. Well, we drove down to Venice to check it out.
Pretty good crowd for a cold night.
Yeah. Where do we find this friend of yours?
See where the merry-go-round is up ahead?
Yeah.
Just beyond that. He runs one of the booths. You throw baseballs at phony milk bottles. 3 chances for a dime, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He and his wife run it. They've been out here for years. I don't know how they ever make a living at it. Hey, those hot dogs smell good, don't they?
Is that your friend's booth across the way there?
Yeah, I see.
Let the girls have a free throw. Step up and win a prize.
Looks like Maud's running the place tonight. Maud, that's his wife.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing, Sergeant? Cold night, huh?
Hi, Maud. This is my partner, Joe Friday.
How are you?
Glad to know you, Joe. Guess you're looking for Scooter, huh?
Yeah, is he around?
Just down the way, Sarge. Hey, how about it? Sailor, try your luck. One thin dime. Spill the milk.
Pretty good crowd tonight, Maud.
Oh, yeah, but they're not spending. Hasn't been good at all lately.
Where'd you say your husband was, ma'am?
Just down the way. Old man Hudson's out to Charles. Scooter runs a merry-go-round for him while he eats.
Well, thank you, Maud. We'll drop back and see you before we leave.
Right. Glad to meet you, Joe.
Yeah, glad to meet you. Goodbye.
What do you say, girls? Have the boys show you how good they control. Spill the milk. Come on.
Scooter, is that what you said? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, that's right. He used to run the Scooter Drome. You know the little electric cars you drive around? Bumpers all around?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Hey,
there he is. Scooter! Hey, Scooter!
Hi, Sarge. Been waiting for you. Hop on.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Okay.
Sarge. Good to see you.
Scooter, my partner, Joe Friday. How are you?
Yeah, glad to know you, Joe. I guess we can talk here as well as any place, huh?
Sure. What's the story, Scooter?
Well, it's like I told you on the phone. Murphy down the Penny Arcade, he noticed the guy first. He pointed him out to me. He sure hits close to Bray's description.
Well, when did you first see him?
Oh, two nights ago. I wasn't so sure it was Bray the first time. Then I saw him last night. That cinched it.
I didn't hear that.
I said I saw him last night. That cinched it.
Oh, well, when did this Murphy, was that his name? When did he first see him?
About a week ago. He's got an eagle eye for strangers who hang around. Murphy thinks the guy's staying out here someplace.
Is there any idea where?
Just a minute. No jumping around like that, son. Now you'll fall off and bang your head. Kids.
Where'd you spot this man, Scooter?
Same place Murphy did it. He's hanging around the shooting gallery down the way. The guy who runs the place is new. We don't know him well enough to ask him about it.
You mean this man who looks like Bray just hangs around the counter there?
Well, no, not exactly. You see, there's a little office to one side of the shooting gallery, and the times I seen the guy, he was either coming in or going out of there.
Mm-hmm. When's the last time you saw him, Scooter?
Huh?
I say, when's the last time you saw him?
Oh, earlier tonight, about 6:30. I think Murphy's right. The guy's holding up in there. Hold on there, Curly. Now, don't try to get off the merry-go-round. Let's stop. That's a girl.
Thank you a lot, Scooter. We'll check back with you before we leave.
Yeah, okay, Sarge. I hope it helps you out. I'm glad I met you, Joe.
Right, see you later. There's the shooting gallery down there by the bullseye, son. Yep, the guy is Bray. It's funny that he hasn't been spotted before. This area is pretty well patrolled here.
Yeah. Try your skill, fellas. 10 shots, only quarter.
We're police officers. Like to ask you a few questions.
What about?
What's your name?
Gridley. Max Gridley.
You know anybody by the name of James Bray?
Bray?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't. Why?
How about this, Mr. Gridley? Know anybody who fits that description?
No, it doesn't mean anything to me. What's the matter, anyway?
Well, a man answering that description has been seen entering and leaving this office right next door over here. It's part of your concession, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. But I'm the only one who uses it. Somebody must have got the wrong slant.
Then you wouldn't mind if we looked it over. Routine investigation.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, all right. I'll come around and open the door for you.
All right, come on.
Just a cubby hole, as you can see. Kind of use it as a storage place. Sometimes I have my lunch in here. Take a nap once in a while.
Looks pretty well lived in. All those clothes are yours, Mr. Gridley?
Yeah, that's right. Why?
Hey, Mac, how about a loan on this thing?
Oh, it's a customer. Excuse me a minute. Be right back.
Yeah, go ahead. Hey, Joe.
Hmm?
Yeah. Over here. Have a look.
This towel.
Yeah.
Look at the name stenciled on it.
Bartlett Hotel.
9:30 p.m. We advised the shooting gallery operator not to attempt any phone calls. Then I called the office and Ricketts and Powers came out to help us with a stakeout on the shooting gallery in the adjoining office. Ben and I covered from the Penny Arcade directly opposite the shooting gallery. Ricketts and Powers were staked out two doors away at a stand that advertised handwriting analyzed, 25 cents. We waited. Ben munched on a bag of popcorn. 10:30 p.m., no sign of the suspect. 11 o'clock, still no sign.
Getting pretty cold. Everybody going home?
Yeah. You got any more of that popcorn there?
Oh, yeah, here you are. Two pieces left, sure it's good.
Must have been. Not much in there now.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can get another bag. Machine's right over there. No, turn it off. How about some peanuts?
No, thanks.
Oh, sure, there's some in there, Joe. Want some?
No.
Sure would like to see Bray show up. Hate to spend the night staked out here.
Hey, wait a minute. Look.
Huh?
The shooting gallery, the guy in the blue suit?
He's talking to the manager. He's going around the side door.
Yeah, come on.
He's going inside.
All right, hold it right there, mister.
Joe, watch it.
Rick it.
Johnny, cover the back.
Right, Joe.
I'll get the door.
Right.
Come on, let's hit it. Yeah. Went out the back. Come on.
Yep. Hey, hold it.
Johnny's got him.
Yeah.
Good. Johnny, you okay?
Yeah. It's a rough one.
Let's roll him over, huh?
Yeah, all right.
How about it, Joe? Short, dark complexion, fat.
What do you think?
I don't know, but it's not Bray. Ricketts and Powers remained on stakeout at the shooting gallery while Ben and I took the suspect downtown along with the proprietor of the shooting gallery, Max Gridley. We had the man treated for cuts and bruises at Georgia Street Receiving Hospital, and then we took him to the office. He identified himself as Blake Chatfield, an unemployed salesman. After 2 hours of questioning, he broke down and admitted that he was Bray's accomplice. In each of the 18 robberies, he drove the getaway car. He said for the past month, he and Bray had been living in the office adjoining the shooting gallery. He was booked at the New City Jail on suspicion of 211 PC. Max Gridley was held for further questioning. 1:35 a.m., we checked back in at the office.
Guess I had too many hot dogs out there.
Yeah, what's the matter?
Oh, indigestion. Maybe it was the popcorn. Yeah.
Couple of messages in the book. My wife wants you to call her before you go home.
Hello, Amy. Yeah, long night, yeah. What? Loaf of graham bread. Well, I'll try. Okay, dear. Yeah, bye. Same old thing.
Yeah. I get it. Robbery Friday.
Johnny Powers, Joe.
Yeah, John. How's it going?
Jimmy Bray finally showed. We got him.
Any trouble?
No. Drove up in a bright red coupe. Couldn't miss him.
Mm-hmm. You coming in now?
Yeah, just leaving. See ya.
Right, John. Bye. Well, I picked up Bray. Bringing him in now.
Good. Sure been a long haul. Almost 5 months.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah?
Where am I going to get a loaf of graham bread at this time in the morning?
The story you have just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
Now, here is our star, Jack Webb.
Thank you. For the past few weeks, I've asked you to send me the names of dealers who are out of Fatimas. You see, the demand for Fatimas is so great, I want to make sure that all of you can buy them. So keep on writing. If you find a dealer fresh out of Fatimas, let me know, and we'll have something done about it. Write your dealer's name and address on a card and mail it to me, Jack Webb, Post Office Box 951, Hollywood 28. That's Jack Webb, Post Office Box 951, Hollywood 28. Now a word for you, Mr. Dealer. The coming holiday season will find new thousands insisting on Fatima quality. So step up your orders for Fatima tomorrow. Get in on the increasing demand for the quality long cigarette.
James R. Bray and Blake A. Chatfield were tried and convicted on several counts of armed robbery and received sentences as prescribed by law. Max Gridley was filed on for failure to register as an ex-convict. Bray and Chatfield are now serving their terms in the state penitentiary. Technical advice for Dragnet comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department.
This is Bob Hope. Can we steal a second?
Chesterfield, always wins first place. That mile or mile tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
So open a pack, give them a smell.
Then you'll smoke them.
Don't forget to give Crosby for Christmas. I mean the Chesterfield Christmas carton with Bing as Papa Santa Claus. See you Tuesday.
Fatima Cigarettes, the best of all long cigarettes, has brought you Dragnet, portions transcribed from Los Angeles.
Coming up, We the People, then Screen Director's Playhouse on NBC.
My name's Regan. I work for Anthony J. Lyon, International Detective Bureau. They call me the Lion's Eye.
Jeff Regan, Investigator, starring Frank Graham as Regan with Frank Nelson as Anthony J. Lyon. So stand by for mystery and suspense and adventure in tonight's story of The Man in the Church.
You'll find the Cosmopolitan Building on 7th Street near Olive. A pile of white granite holding up a brass clock that hasn't kept time since 1932. That's the year Anthony J. Lyon, the guy I work for, took out a 30-year lease on Suite 308. You can't miss it. Right after you get off the elevator, the International Detective Bureau. Good bargain counter if you want to buy your trouble wholesale. Right after the SC game last Saturday, I walked in. The Lyon was at his desk. He had a sparkle in one eye and a jeweler's glass in the other. And even though he tried to cover up, I could tell he was looking at a $50 bill.
Oh, you Regan. I was just noticing the engraving on this bill. Intricate, fascinating, work of art, really.
Grant took a good picture.
Yeah, didn't he, though? Ulysses Simpson Grant was one of our greatest presidents, Regan.
So you're starting a collection?
I've already started one. This is my first showing.
All right. Who's the new client?
Client? Oh, I didn't get this from a client, really. Rather an old friend. Just a little errand. Yes, I called you in because I want you to do a favor for a friend.
Last time we did a favor for a friend, he turned out to have a record as long as a rolled-up kite string.
Oh, Pencole's not like that. Not at all.
Pencole?
Yes, Charles Pencole, my friend. He wants a bonded, licensed operator at his place at 6 o'clock tonight. Capitol Hotel on Aliso Street.
And just what does Charles Pencole, Capitol Hotel, Aliso Street, want this bonded, licensed operator to do at 6 o'clock?
Now, see here, Jeffrey, there's no need to take that attitude. All Pencole wants is someone to deliver a cash amount of $5,000.
You took another job without asking any questions, didn't you?
What do you mean, ask questions?
When a man who lives in a two-bit hotel on Aliso Street needs a licensed operator to deliver $5,000, there's questions to be asked.
Well, I ask questions.
Well, then give me some answers.
All right, all right. So I lied to you a little about his being an old friend. He isn't that, really, but the man asked for help. I couldn't turn him down. He touched me in some way, Jeffrey. Here. There was a look about him. Gentle. Soft.
A $50 look.
I tell you, Mr. Pencole was a distressed soul when he came in to see me. If you could have seen him so disturbed, so helpless. It was our opportunity to help a brother in distress. Charles Pencole is our brother, Regan.
Come on, answers. Start talking.
All right, I'll tell you what I can. Pencole has a problem, but it's in strictest confidence. I told him I'd give him our best operator, you, Jeffrey, but I had to swear I wouldn't divulge details even to you. But I promise it's nothing illegal, just a simple little job. My word, Jeffrey.
If you're lying to me again...
I'm not. Go see this man, Jeffrey. Take one look at him. You'll see I'm telling the truth. Now, I told him you'd be there. The reputation of the agency is at stake.
You took his $50.
Yes, I took his $50.
And we're on the hook.
Yes, we're on the hook.
Okay, Fatso, I'll see him. Just see him. But you stay right here.
Stay here? Why?
Because if this ball has a curve on it, I'm coming back here to ram that $50 right down your throat. Well, the Lyon had put on a good act, and I went for it again. Maybe it was because I figured he lied so much he'd accidentally have to tell the truth once in a while. Or maybe it was because he looked different when he was describing Charlie Pencole. Anyhow, it was dark on Aliso Street, and it was trying to rain when I found a white blister over the sidewalk that blinked out Capitol Hotel, rooms $1 and up. I walked through a lobby that smelled like last year's laundry. Nobody was behind the desk, but I spun the register around and picked up a Charles A. Pencole in room H. It was upstairs, in between a broom closet and a fire escape. But I didn't have to knock. A tall, big-boned man with a lot of gray hair had the shorter one by the lapels.
Right, you should do things this way. You've been out of touch.
Yeah, Johnny, I've been out of touch, but I know how to handle a punk like you. Now listen to me. Get in my way once again, and I'll break you in half.
Look, I'm warning you,
kiddo. Shut up!
All right, big shot out.
Don't try a gun, you crazy.
Drop the heater, Buster.
I said drop it. Got a lot of friends, Charlie. They always show up just in time.
I remember you too, mister. I remember you
get too. Get out of here. Go on, get out.
I remember this. I remember all of this.
You're a pretty good soldier. What's your name?
Regan.
Oh, yes, some thanks. Thanks, Regan. Might have used that thing, you know.
We try to keep our clients alive until we've earned our fees.
Clients?
I'm from International.
Oh.
And if you're Charlie Pencole, you're a client until $50 is used up.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure. Come on in, Regan. Yeah, make yourself at home. It isn't much. Wire bed and the neon sign outside. I've had better, Regan.
Yeah.
Hey, you want a drink?
Why not?
Probably got a lot of questions to ask, Regan. I'll answer them fast. Yeah, here you are.
Thanks. Suppose you start with the punk.
Johnny Largo?
Mm-hmm.
Look, he hasn't got anything to do with you and me. He's a separate fuse.
Sure. He's used that 38 before.
You know him?
I've seen him in the mug files.
Well, I can handle him. I want you to handle something else. What's the look for?
I've seen that kind of suit before. Did $10 come with it?
Yeah. Just got out of San Quentin. Did 18 years. It's over. Time served.
It shows.
Hey, you don't do that much vacation standing on your rear, Regan. It's hard to get any exercise in a 10x8 room. And the nights, too, are always a couple of million years long. You got somebody to worry about.
Somebody like Largo?
No, no, I tell you, he's nothing. On 29, he was a truck driver who had big ideas. He's still got them, but he's got nothing to back him up with.
All right. You got somebody else to worry about?
Yeah. The guy's name is Sidney Chambers. I owe him some money.
You sure you want a detective?
I can pay Chambers, but I can't see him. I'm gonna be busy. You're bonded. I can trust you to carry the money.
Messenger boys are bonded,
too. It's a simple job, Regan. That's why I'd only pay the lion $50 to have it done. There you are. $5,000 right there. Go ahead, count it.
I'll take your word. Where do I find your man?
Sidney Chambers will be at the planetarium in front of the entrance. He'll be in a black suit wearing a white carnation in the briefcase.
And just like that, I walk up and hand him $5,000.
Just like that?
How do you know I won't feel like taking a trip?
I don't. But then I still haven't got anything to worry about.
You got that much money?
No, Regan, I got me. And Charlie Pencole never let anybody put anything over on him.
What about the state of California?
It was a bum rap.
Oh, sure it was. Good night. I left him sitting there. He looked as happy as a Ubangi with a fever blister. Maybe the lion was telling the truth. So I put the $5,000 in my pocket, but it felt hot, like a dynamite stick with a short fuse. It was 10 minutes to eight when I parked in front of the planetarium. A little guy in a black suit was standing at the entrance looking at his watch. I was afraid he was going to get trampled, but the briefcase and white carnation saved him.
Doors will be closed at 8:00. All those wishing to listen to the nice lecture
going to the lecture?
Hmm?
It's all about a trip to the moon tonight.
Oh, is it? Well, I don't think I'll go in. I'm expecting a friend.
Friend named Charlie Pencole?
What?
Pencole. You going to meet him here?
Yes, but you can't be Pencole. You're much too young.
That's right. I'm not Pencole.
I don't understand, Mr.
Regan.
Oh. Mr. Pencole promised me faithfully he'd meet me here tonight.
You had parents, didn't you?
Hmm?
Name?
No. I'm Sidney Chambers, but I...
You got the briefcase to collect some money in?
Did you bring it? Did you really bring it?
How much expecting?
Why, $5,000 and not a penny less.
All right. There you are.
Well, say now. Say
it's
now.
It's all there.
It certainly is. It certainly is. It most certainly is. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Mr. Regan.
If I hadn't seen him pat his bulged pocket, I'd have gone on home and played canasta with my landlady. But when I saw him drive away, I began to get a slow feeling. Like all my troubles were already started. So I crawled in my car and followed him. I was still following when he pulled up in Palos Verdes and parked in front of a little house stuck up on a hill all by itself. I had that same feeling when I cut my engine, coasted to a stop, and sat there thinking about nothing. I watched a light go on somewhere in the back of the house. I was just putting my cigarette out when the place lit up like a car. I pulled my gun and started for the door, but I wasn't fast enough to stop that black hoop that was in the alley. I found Chambers wrapped around the dining room table. He was holding on to that briefcase, and the $5,000 was still there. but he'd never get a chance to spend it. He was all used up.
Anthony J. Lyons speaking.
You better have something good to say, Fatso.
Regan, where you been? I've been looking all over.
You know where I've been.
I called the Capitol Hotel, but no one answered. Listen, Regan, I don't want you to take this job.
I took it 3 hours ago, and now I need those answers.
Answers?
You told me Penn Cole had filled you in on the background of this thing. Well, it's time you shared secrets with me.
Regan, I can't tell you anything.
You'd better.
But I didn't get anything from him, Regan. I made up that stuff about a personal problem just to get you to take the job.
All for $50?
There's no time for that now.
You said it.
After you left, I got worried, so I looked up Penn Cole. He's really good-time Charlie Penn Cole, an old-time racketeer.
And he just got out of San Quentin. And somebody's already dead.
What?
Now get this. I'm calling you from a house in Palos Verdes. It belongs to a little guy named Sidney Chambers. I made the delivery and decided to follow him home. Just as I got here, somebody blew his fuse.
What happened to the $5,000? The killer steal it?
It's still here.
Still there? Good!
I thought that'd get action.
Now, hold on to it. International will keep it safely until the police go ahead and... Regan. Regan. Hello, are you still there?
I was still there, but I wasn't listening to the lion. I was looking at the traffic cop standing in the doorway. He was looking at what was left of Chambers, at the money spread all around, and then at me.
Hello,
I began to feel helpless, like a fiddler without a chin.
I'll take your gun. Go ahead, finish your call. I won't listen.
It isn't important.
Dead, huh? You, got anything to say, mister? Nice gun. Yours?
Yeah, it's my gun, but I...
Yeah, sure. Just been fired.
Those bullets won't match up with the ones in him. You got this all
wrong? Money, too. Well, well. Weapon? Motive? I'll be in plain clothes this time tomorrow.
Look, the guy who did it's making time right now.
You'll be surprised the kind of drivers we have around Los Angeles. I'm working Palos Verdes. I stop a minute, I hear noises like guns. And I just cruise around on my bike where I think I hear the noise. And I find you. All right, killer, move. My turn to make a call.
I leaned into his gun, spun around, and knocked his wrist down. The bullets went wild, and I hit the light switch.
Come back here! Come back!
That gave me time enough to get through the door. He lost me when I ran up the hill and back of the house toward the oil derricks. But I knew he'd keep right on looking. And so would every cop in Los Angeles. I had as much chance as a snowball in a Turkish bath. None of it made sense. I delivered Penco's $5,000 to a little guy named Sidney Chambers. And before I knew it, a question mark in a black coupe blew out Chambers' life. But he left that $5,000 scattered all over the place. And an eager cop who likes double-breasted suits tagged me for the job. When I broke away from that cop, I knew I'd have to get some answers. I made my way back downtown and dropped into the Capitol Hotel. Any key fitted room H. It was as clean as a bookie's stall when a long shot comes in. No Charlie Penn call. Nothing. The newspaper clipping on the dresser with an ad on how to handle your muscles on one side and part of a society column on the other meant nothing. But the knock on the door had possibilities.
Oh. Charles, are you in there? Are you asleep? Charles, I...
She was a tall, gray-haired woman in a fur coat. She didn't look like Penco's kind of company.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought this was Mr. Pencall's room.
He's left town. Maybe I can be of help.
No, I'm sure you can't. I just made a mistake, that's all. I'm sorry I bothered you. I'm terribly sorry. Please.
Well, just a minute.
Relax.
Hmm?
You can see her later. Inside. Come on in, boys. Come in. I wanted Charlie, but you'll do for now.
You got a parade permit, Largo?
I don't need one. This is going to be a quiet little party. You and me and my friends this time.
Don't they talk?
Sure they talk. Boys, there's a friend of Charlie Pinkle.
Hello.
Hi. You see? All right, friend of Charlie Pinkle's. We had all the introductions. Now let's have a party. You took my gun away tonight. I told you I'd remember you. This is going to be fun.
Hold him.
Here we go. With feeling.
Hey, boss, it's getting heavy.
Shut up. Don't let him fall, Sam. Just getting the good stuff.
It was almost morning when I started to come around. I was still in room H. Some cold water and a trip to the drugstore didn't make me feel any better, but I had some answers to find. The morning papers were full of the brutal murder of city employee Sidney Chamber. He'd run on to tell how he worked in the Hall of Records. My name was in the article. They'd matched the bullets and my gun didn't figure. But homicide had wanted some answers, and I didn't have any to give him. I started with that clipping I'd found in Penco's room. Wasn't much, but it had names. Something about a Meredith Gibbons and a Donald Townsend getting married. There was an address in the phone book, Sherman Oaks. Nice house on a nice street.
Good morning, darling. I didn't expect you so... Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were Donald.
My name's Regan. I'd like to see Meredith Gibbons.
Why, I'm Meredith Gibbons. Oh, please come in, Mr. Regan.
Thanks.
I'll have to apologize for the appearance of the house. I'm packing and all. I'm being married this afternoon.
Yeah, I read about that.
Oh. Mr. Regan, I'll have to apologize again. I don't believe I know you.
No, you don't. Look, I won't take a lot of your time. I'm a private investigator. I'd like to ask some questions.
Private investigator? Well, certainly, Mr. Regan, but I don't know...
Hey, darling, I'd like
to... Oh, Donald, you're here.
Oh, morning, please.
Donald, this is Mr. Regan. He's a private detective. He wants to ask me some questions.
Oh? Well, glad to meet you, Regan. What's this all about?
Probably nothing, just a lead. Look, do you people know a man named Penco?
Penco?
Oh, no, I...
Think, it's important. His name's Charles Penco.
No, Mr. Regan, I don't.
I'm sorry, neither do I.
All right. Does the name Sidney Chambers mean anything to you?
Oh, sorry again, Regan. Nothing again. I can't think so well. I'm marrying her today.
Oh, Donald. No, Mr. Regan, I've never heard that name before. You're looking for these men?
One of them's dead.
Oh? Which one?
Chambers. He was shot last night.
Oh, dear.
I've got to find Penco.
Well, sure wish we could help you more, but... tell me, Regan, why did you come here?
I found this clipping about your marriage in Penco's room.
That's funny. Truly, Mr. Regan, I never heard the
there
name
it
before.
Is. Donald, you have so many things to do today.
Oh, Mother, I want you to meet Mr. Regan. He's a detective. This is my mother.
How do you do, Mr. Regan?
It was the same gray-haired woman I'd met the night before in Charlie's room. Had to hand it to her. She didn't raise an eyelash. She looked right through me like she was meeting me for the first time. I didn't give her away. There was something in her eyes that said, don't.
Mr. Regan, I know you'll excuse us. We have so many things to do. Well, perhaps Mother can help you.
Sure.
Yeah. Bye, Regan.
I hope you find your man, Mr. Regan.
They look like a real nice pair, Mrs. Gibbon.
They're wonderful children, Mr. Regan. Wonderful.
You know what I have to ask.
Yes, I know.
Man's been killed.
Sit down, Mr. Regan, please.
Thanks.
That lovely girl who just walked out of the door is Charles Pencall's daughter.
Oh.
Yes. Charles married my younger sister in 1929. She never knew what Charles did for a living. She was in the hospital, Mr. Regan, dying while Charles was in court. And when his sentence was pronounced, his daughter was born at a hospital in Glendale.
That'd be Meredith.
Yes.
Go on.
Before Charles began his life sentence, he took what money he had left and established an irrevocable trust fund for her and for me. It was his plan. I adopted her legally. He promised that he'd never write or bother in any way, and he hasn't. Oh, after so much heartache for a real mother, he was trying to do one decent thing.
It worked out?
Yes, he kept his word. He was paroled last week. I read it in the papers.
And you went to see him at his hotel. I met you there.
Yes, I went to see him last night. The parole officer gave me his address. A little man had been here last week on some pretext or another, and I was worried. I thought he was a friend of Charles who might want to make trouble.
Nobody else knows about this adoption?
No one, Mr. Regan. No one at all. Just Charles and I. My sister, well, she had the baby under my name.
I see.
I I read the morning papers. The little man, the one who called on me last week and acted strangely, was murdered last night. His name was Chambers. I read about it in the paper.
Yeah, that's right.
And the police are looking for you, Mr. Regan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, please, I can't ask you to continue being a fugitive. I know you didn't kill him, but if there's any way at all, Mr. Regan... Oh, listen to me. Meredith can't become involved in something like this.
If there's any way to keep her out of it, Mrs. Gibbons, I'll do it.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Regan. Thank you.
When I left there, I had a pretty good picture of the whole thing. A check with the Civil Service Commission did the rest as far as Chambers' part fitted in. Besides working at the Hall of Records from 1932 on, he'd worked at the city morgue before. And before that, the county hospital as an orderly. And before that, a private hospital in Glendale. But that still left Johnny Largo on stage. The Lion had part of it when I found him at the office.
Regan!
Who'd you expect?
Never mind. Anybody see you? You're hot, boy.
You know how I got that way.
I know, but those things will happen. Where's that $5,000?
A cop on the Palos Verdes division is looking at it.
Huh?
Don't you read the papers? They're looking for me. They want to talk to me about a murder.
Oh, and I wanted to see how that much money looked all at once.
What have you been telling Homicide?
That I don't know anything about it.
Well, maybe I better make a call.
Now, look, Jeffrey. We've got to find out who tagged Chambers. It's the only way we can square ourselves with Homicide.
You afraid of that jailhouse coffee?
Oh, please, I had another one of my attacks today. Oh, knowing you were out there somewhere in this vast city, hunted, because of my indiscreetness. Jeffrey, I've done you wrong.
You're gonna drown in those tears.
Oh, now, please, find out who killed that poor man Chambers. Square yourself with the police. Make a clean breast of everything.
Well, then you start giving me more answers.
I'll help you in every way I can, Jeffrey.
All right, where does Johnny Largo tie in with Charlie Pencor?
Largo? Oh, it's an old-time feud. I went through the 1929 morgue files. Largo tried to kill Pencole over some money or something. He claimed Pencole held out on him.
Nothing else?
Nothing else. Why? You got a lead?
What does Largo do now?
He runs a joint in Gardena that fronts for a roulette wheel. Hey, where you going?
To try my luck.
By the way, what happened to your face?
It got stepped on.
Somebody had big feet.
Yeah, six of them. Bye. I knew I was coming into the home stretch. I made Largo's place about 3 o'clock that afternoon, but I was too late. 3 squad cars were piled up in front, and the morgue wagon was there. I checked with the driver, looked inside, and saw that their customer was Largo. He was extremely dead. It was easy to see Pencor was making the rounds. First, Chambers. Second, Largo. He figured to have one more stop, and I found it. That black coupe was in front of St. Anne's Church in Sherman Oaks. Inside, Meredith Gibbons and Townsend were kneeling at the altar. There were a lot of people watching. But the one I was interested in was the guy in the dark suit. He was standing in the back.
Hello, Regan.
I came to get you, Charlie.
Yeah, I figured you would.
They don't like murder in this state, no matter what it's for.
Now, the state doesn't know Chambers was... trying to buy that kid up there out of her life.
So to keep your daughter from knowing who her old man was, you hired me. So you could get a line on Chambers, follow him. Kill him.
He was just a name on a phone to me. You had to tag him for me. It's the only way to treat him. Somehow he knew she was my kid. He had all the facts for blackmail. He waited 18 years to trap me.
Largo was just a sideline.
He was until he found out I'd killed Chambers. You see, he was following me that night in Palos Verdes.
So you traded one blackmail for another?
Yeah.
And no way out. We'd better go, Penco.
No. No, just a minute, Regan. I want to see you walk. Oh, she looks just like a mother. Regan.
What's the matter?
But Largo threw some that connected here. Put your arm in back of me. Hold me up, Regan. At least till she gets by. I don't want to ruin anything. Please.
But Donald, there's Mr. Regan. He came to our wedding. How nice.
Yes. Hello, Regan. Thanks
Hello.
For coming.
Oh, we're so happy. Did you ever find the man you were looking for?
Yeah. I found him.
I'm glad. We're so very happy today.
We sure are.
I
Mr. Regan, do I know your friend? He looks familiar.
No, no, you don't know me. Not at all. Good luck.
Well,
thank you very much. Come on, darling.
All right.
Okay, Penco.
Thanks, Regan. Get me out of here, quick.
There were four of Largo's slugs in him. He died in the ambulance. Homicide knew about the old feud, and that satisfied them why Penco killed Johnny Largo and those two hoods. But they were bending their eyebrows trying to figure out why Penco killed Chambers. I didn't figure it was up to me to explain it. The next morning when I came into the office, somebody was just leaving. The lion had one arm around her shoulder.
Oh, no, no, just part of our service. Glad to be of help. Oh, Regan.
Oh, Mr. Regan.
Hello, Mrs. Gibbons.
Oh, I just came by to thank you. To thank you for everything. I didn't know that people could be so understanding. I didn't know. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Fine figure of a woman, Regan. Fine figure of a woman.
And what else does she want?
Well, she just came to thank us, that's all.
Yeah.
Regan, you don't think that after all that's happened...
Yes, I do.
Well, that certainly doesn't show a very good opinion of me.
How'd she get the address?
Well, I gave her a call.
Give me.
Now, you don't really think...
I said give me.
It's just a small check. A gesture of her appreciation.
Oh.
Regan, that's dough.
You got paid for this once?
Yes, but this was a bonus for the rest of it. After all, International has expenses. This is a legitimate... Oh, well, maybe this time you're right.
Jeff Regan, Investigator, is written by E. Jack Newman, directed by Sterling Tracy, and stars Frank Graham as Regan with Frank Nelson as Anthony J. Lyon. Original music is by Dick Arant.
For Case Closed this week, you can find more from Dragnet, Jeff Regan Investigator, past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, and thousands of other old-time radio episodes, all at RelicRadio.com. If you'd like to help support this and keep it all going, visit donate.RelicRadio.com. Your support is how we do it. Thanks to all those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Wednesday with another hour of Case Closed.